We all have a role to play. Currently, 37 people a day die, get killed on our roads, and these are mostly our children between the ages of 5 and 12. Being killed on our roads, a child, one of the second ways of being killed in our country is by being killed by a car. That is very alarming. But what do you mean by traditional, non-traditional road user?
Sort of the ones that I guess we don't often talk about, the cyclists, delivery riders, pedestrians as well.
Apologies. No, I just want to understand. I just had my coffee. listen, no, completely correct. We don't talk about these users. They're the most vulnerable users. We have to understand that as car drivers, we're protected by a piece of metal. Whereas 60% of our children that walk to school across the country from the last national stats essay, they're not protected. Last mile delivery workers like green riders on e-bikes from places like Kukuletu, Dunoon, Langa, they are slow, they're not protected. And the majority of people actually in this city, in other cities that use minibus taxis, My City, rail that is working and it has a turn gap, they walk long distances from where they live to where they catch these very important modes to get to certain areas because of our backbone spatial planning and to some degree our failures in urban governance in the last few years. So the point is they're not protected and they are suffering largely because A, our roads are not designed for them, okay? So our roads are completely unpredictable. Now that is changing, but it's happening very slowly. And then B, our behavior as motorists. It's something that's happening where, irrespective of your views, your politics, or your values, the moment you step into a car vehicle, we tend to weaponize that vehicle. And that's one of the biggest, saddest things in our country in the post-apartheid era, and we need to change this as a country.
Yeah. When we talk about road or the behavior of road users, and I think you're raising a very important point there as it relates to how particularly individuals driving vehicles or cars use the fact that they are in those vehicles to sort of at times bully other road users off the roads. We've also seen, though, a bit of a shift with progress and I guess technology and the use of these delivery services across the board. That playing a certain role as well, because they too are on a clock in the same way perhaps taxis are trying to reach targets, in the same way perhaps other delivery drivers are also looking to use the roads. And that adds a different element to the conversation, and I don't think personally that we've adapted as vehicle car drivers, I guess, to that reality.
Sure. I mean, look, there's one thing talking about last mile delivery workers and minibus taxi owners that are incentivized to drive fast, right? So that's a systematic model because of their employers, right? Mm. So that's one point. Now, I think what you're trying to say is that as individual motorists, we tend to behave in a similar fashion, although, no one's making us speed. Or one of the biggest, most simplest thing that one can observe that really illustrates that motorists, A, don't understand the law, okay? And B, they don't have any respect towards people other than not in that vehicle, which is stopping for someone at a pedestrian crossing. As a motorist, you have to yield for pedestrian. No one does that. The only place people do that is at the V&A for some reason. It's like we've left the Republic of South Africa for a brief second. And then the second factor is when it comes to intersection. If the red man is flashing for a pedestrian, as a motorist, you have to give left the right of way. You can't turn left. No one does that. Mm. Across the board, irrespective of where you're from, who you are, no one does that. And that just shows that we have a system where there's no accountability, but also the process that a motorist gets educated, it's simply flawed. But I guess I can report that SARTO has been signed into law by the president. And that will be a demerit system. And I really hope that can be effective to hold accountability motorists where they will and should lose their license if they don't have any respect to themselves, to their families that are seeing how they drive, and they'll probably emulate their parents' behavior, and to the rest of us that are dying on roads, which costing the economy over 200 billion rand a year.
Mm. I think that's perhaps a good segue as we conclude the conversation, Roland, in the conversation around auto. And if you think that is perhaps the silver bullet that could help change road users and their behavior, considering auto also would require quite a bit of effort and resources to adequately and effectively implement. And I'm wondering what you make of the role that auto could play in that conversation.
Oh, definitely. It has a big role to play. I mean, in other countries like Australia, it has a big role to play. But again, it's about governance, and if we can actually, our different governmental agencies across the board, right, if they play the part. So that's the big assumption. I think it has a role to play. In terms of it being a silver bullet, no. The silver bullet here is redesigning roads to change behavior. We've prioritized car centricity. One more lane will not solve congestion. We need to prioritize people, public transportation. That's the only way to avert traffic congestion. No other way. And it's the only way to drive the economy forward, to create those jobs, build infrastructure where we prioritize people. And the city of Cape Town is doing that. They have an opportunity with the CBD. And if that's done successfully, it can be emulated in other parts of the metro, like Bowell, other areas, Dunoon, Kailisha, that needs that kind of investment, where we prioritize people, and that's key to the economy and key to a safer Cape Town, and indeed a safer South Africa.